Good morning. It is good to worship with you this morning again. It is a joyous thing to raise our voices before the Lord Almighty. This morning, I thought about wearing a bee suit, like the full suit with the head net and the net and everything, and those little bees flying around. Last week, Dave shared and shared with us from Ephesians 4 and 5. And we talked a little bit, and it was appropriate to continue on and share and encourage you in a Christian walk. And as I studied the remaining verses there in Ephesians 4 and into Ephesians 5, it reminded me, and I had notes in my Bible, of all the bees in Ephesians 4 and 5. And it was something that I began to develop years ago when I taught Sunday school upstairs. And then a year or so ago, I actually was able to develop it a little more in the men's Sunday school class. And then it was fun being able to pour myself in to study this section for a sermon. And so it begins in Ephesians 4, verse 11, and you can turn there, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And one of the amazing things about Scripture is I go over some of the same verses that Dave did last week. And as I went over it and went through it, and it was pretty well finalized, all of a sudden I got nervous, and I had to listen to his sermon last night about 10 o'clock again. And you know what? It's still alive. It's still new. It still speaks to us. And I believe, you know, if Luke could preach the same verses next week, and it again would be new and it would be fresh. And it's one of the amazing things that we can see God's word is alive. So I will click to begin my, okay. And you can flip that up there. Here we go. And so, all of the bees are bees this morning, and there's a lot of bees that you'll see floating around. So, and if you are have the freedom to write in your Bible, if you highlight in yellow all the bees, or you can circle all your bees, you could say you're capturing all your bees. But there's a lot of bees this morning as we continue on in Ephesians, beginning in verse 11, what we are made to be. For he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That sounds pretty sweet, doesn't it? Those verses. That sounds wonderful. And I wrote down there the three fours in verse 12. So, again, some of us are to be who God made us to be, apostles and prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And this applies to those that are called and teach Sunday school. Some of you God called to be teachers. And so the reason for this are the three fours in verse 12. This is why God calls you to evangelists and prophets and pastors and teachers. The first four, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is our job. This is what we do. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. In all of these verses, there is a sermon. But I'm going to allow you to develop that in your own mind. It's for you to think about. But this is what God calls some to be, and the reasons for this. Now, how long do we have to do this? How long? For a while. Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. God calls some to be teachers and preachers and pastors and prophets and evangelists until we're all perfect. Wow. That's quite a while. It's like saying that he's calling those to teach and to preach and to share on a job that's not accomplishable. So, please be patient with us imperfect leaders. In fact, it kind of sounds like a cheap movie title, Imperfect Men Attempting the Impossible. So, we are to continue on. So, that's what we're called to be, and now this is what we used to be. I've added my own subtitles, I think you can tell. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. It is our job as teachers and leaders here not to let you act as children. And if that statement makes you cross your arms and lean back a little bit, maybe you need to grow up. Not that we as leaders are to be pushy in any way, and we're not to pull in any way, but we are to grow you up. God has given that responsibility to us as teachers and leaders. And growing is slow business at times. That's okay. But growing is alive. It's a moving forward. It's becoming more Christ-like. Growing is not stagnant. And this is our calling as leaders. And please help us, and please don't hinder us in the task that God gives us. And it is good for you and I that we're not carried off by deceivingly crafty men with slick tongues. Now, sorry, I need my mouse. I didn't get it going yet this morning. Okay, there's the rest of my notes. Okay, it is good that you and I here are not carried off by slick tongues and crafty things that are preached on the radio. Oops, did I say that? It used to be, brothers and sisters, that Christian radio was safe. Christian radio, I hear it. It has changed in the last couple of years. And the preachers that are on the radio are not all preaching the same truth that we believe. It used to be that they were just quiet and they didn't say the things that would conflict. And they're beginning to speak now. They're beginning to accept divorce and remarriage and proclaim it. It's happening. I hear it. We need to be careful. Because this is what we used to be. Oops, I went too fast. Yes, what we used to be. Now, what we're supposed to be, what we are supposed to grow up to be, what we are supposed to grow up to be, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And what I thought when I read that group, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead in my notes. When I read that verse, I thought of small groups, getting ahead of myself. Think about small groups. But speaking truth in love may grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That is the epitome of what small group is or should be. And if your small group is not like that, let me say this morning, you're part of the solution. You want to agitate somebody, you call them a problem. You want to encourage somebody, you call them a solution. This morning, if you're not excited about your small group, be a part. You are a part of the solution. If you want a better small group, make it better. Be better. Be a better person. Absolutely. What we are supposed to grow up to be. And this next few verses, this is the worldly be. And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness and greediness. And this verse explains itself almost too well. These verses explain what happens when someone departs from God. It says, what happens in verse 17 here, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God. And the rest of the verse tells us how that happens. You wonder, well, what happened to them? How did that happen? Where did they go wrong? This is what used to be, and now this is going on? I don't understand. These verses, the rest of 18 and 19, explain to us very plainly on what happens when we get away from God. You see, it says, because of their ignorance that is in them. Ignorance is what? Not knowing. Guess what? Not knowing is not reading. When you do not apply this, when you don't read it, when you don't know it, you are ignorant of the scripture itself. It is the first step in getting away from God, is not picking up your Bible, not reading his word. It's the first step. It's the first thing that happens. When you become alienated from God, this is the first step, ignorance. And I present to you, it's not reading your Bible. The next thing that happens after ignorance and not reading your Bible is blindness of your heart. And you can't see with your heart. Do you see God with your eyes? Do you see God with your eyes? No. Where do you see God? You see God with your heart. You see God with your heart. And people try to use their eyes and their natural mind to see God. And brothers and sisters, we know that we can only see God with our hearts. And when your heart does not see God, and when you are ignorant of God's word, then you become past feeling. And you have no guilt. And you have no fear of death. And you don't really care. And where does that take you? Immediately to lewdness, uncleanness, and greediness. This is the progression. This is what happens. This is the worldly being. Now, how to be in Christ. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is where it begins, and this is where it ends. The battle is in your mind. I want to watch this on TV. Boy, I really like listening to this radio station in the morning. They're so funny. We are so tired tonight. You know what? We're going to do family devotions tomorrow night. I just can't get up early this morning and read my Bible. It is a battle in your mind. Whether it's the good that's battling or the evil that's battling, it is the battle that is in your mind. This is where it happens. And let me tell you from experience, the devil makes it so that the leader of the home has the most difficult battle. Man, this is where the devil tempts you in your mind. And it says in verse 24 that we are to put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put it on. Do you put it on? I mean, that's an action. That is something that you're physically picking up and putting on. In my mind, it's like putting on a t-shirt. I mean, it's like you got to do this thing. Knock your glasses off and everything. You have to do this. It's an action. You pick it up and you put it on. And you've heard that saying, the man makes the clothes. You know what I mean? Or the clothes make the man. Sorry, I said it backwards. The clothes make the man. Sometime you see a nice looking suit and the guy's all sitting there with his check sticks out. You know, he's a little proud of himself. And we kind of know that feeling. We know what that is. You know, when the clothes make the man. This is what it's talking about. When you put on this, it makes you the man of Christ. When you put it on, it's like, this is who I am. Oh, yeah, this is it. You put it on. It is an action. And now, how to be with your brothers and sisters. And therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And let me break this down a little bit from my interaction with the youth. There's a little bit of youth lay pastor in me here. Let me break this down a little bit. Verse 25, therefore put away lying. Let each of us speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And I say that's huge. This is an absolutely first step that we do when we come together as a body of Christ. We set aside, we put aside, we don't lie to one another, do we? We're truthful. This is the thing that we do. That's huge. Verse 26, and be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath. Boy, that's big too. That's huge. This is something that we do. In verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Wow. As a body of Christ, as brothers and sisters, it's dangerous when one of us gives place to the devil. It is. It's not a great thing. It's dangerous. It's like getting your finger cut on the body, and it has to heal again. That's what happens when someone gives place to the devil. This is huge. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And this is why we labor. This is why we come together. This is why we collect our tithes and our offerings. This is why we support those who labor in Christ. This is huge. And let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Wow. Now we're getting to the big, 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 huge stuff, right? Can you imagine, again, if when we would assemble as a body, that nothing corrupt would come out of our mouth, but only what is good for edification, only what is good for encouragement, only what is good for building each other up. Wow. That's huge. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Brothers and sisters, if we get a hold of that as a family, as a brother, that I would not do anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. And as a sister, that you would not do anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. Huge. Absolutely. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Wow. This is big stuff. So, what would it look like if these verses were taped on the inside of your Bible and that you read them every Sunday before you came to this place? What would it do? Now, I'm not saying that there's any problem here. I'm not saying that I'm hearing things that shouldn't be said. No, I'm saying, what would it be like? What would healthy Christian living look like if this was the basis? I'm not saying there's a problem. I'm saying it could be huge. This could be great. This has the potential to grow a congregation in huge ways. Think of it as a possibility, as a solution, not an issue. No problems here. But wow, what would happen if this was thoroughly practiced? Great stuff. Great stuff. And we get to the ultimate B. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And we all know what receiving this kindness and this forgiveness, what that feels like. We all know what that feels like. To be, when someone is kind to you, and when someone is tenderhearted towards you, and when someone forgives you, oh, it's wonderful, right? I mean, we can get excited about that. But I'm calling you this morning, what happens when it's your turn to forgive? What happens when it's your turn to be tender-hearted? Because we know what it feels like when someone does that to us. But as a body, we are to interact together. We are to be complete. Wow. We are therefore to be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The next B is how not to be in the world. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. How fitting would it be for me to meet you in the foyer and tell you a little bit of a coarse joke on a Sunday morning? Wouldn't be very fitting. It would be awkward. How fitting would it be for one of you to tell an off-color joke here on a Sunday morning? Wouldn't be very appropriate. Brothers and sisters, what is the difference between here and the restaurant? What is the difference between here or at your work? What's the difference? If it's inappropriate for you to share something here, it is inappropriate for you to share something anywhere. Anywhere. If it's inappropriate for you to share something here, it should not be shared anywhere. That's Christian living. And I tell you that because verses 5, 6, and 7. For you know that no fornicator, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Our God is a holy God. 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 He has creatures that he created that all they say is he is a holy God over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and over again. Because our God is a holy God. Our God is so holy, he says that if you think lustful thoughts about a woman, you commit adultery. Our God is such a holy God, he says if you hate your brother, you've murdered him. That's how holy our God is. Our God is a holy God. Therefore, do not be partakers with them of this world. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14, the rest of these few verses here. There's no B in there, sorry. But they're good verses. We're not going to skip them. For you were once darkness, but now our children are now light in the Lord. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Do you light it up when you leave here? Do you light up the world when you leave here? This is our job. This is our task. This is what we do. This is Christian living. Do you light it up? Or do you come to work as grumpy as the next person? Do you light it up? Is your joy evident on your face? Do you light it up? This is your job. If our light shines only in this building. There's nobody going to see it. If this is as far as your candle burns, and you turn it on and turn it off, it does you no good. The light is made for the darkness. It's not made for the light. Light's not made for light. It's already bright. Your light is made for your work. Your light is made for your home. Your light is made for your neighbors. Walk as children of the light. And we need to be aware of the times that we live in. And see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is the will of God for you. Did you catch that? It's right here. To be filled with His Spirit. That we would speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And let me add, you can't do that when you're grumpy. Giving thanks always to all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that is my attempt, verses half of there of 18, the last part of 18, 19, 20, and 21. This is my attempt at leading you in adult Bible school. I'm not going to teach the adult Bible school class. I'm going to lead the adult Bible school class. I will be leading you in exercises of prayer, specifically for Bible school. I have a little card for the teachers to fill out each night with the attendance for prayer requests. I've asked the drama committee to have a little prayer request card made out each night so that when we gather, we can pray for specific needs for Bible school for that evening. We're going to pray outside. We're going to pray inside. We're going to pray in small groups. We're going to pray quietly. We may pray out loud. But I will be leading you through exercise of prayer specifically for Bible school. That was the sense and direction of the Board of Ministry has been led. Bible school doesn't feel bad to us. It doesn't feel evil. It doesn't feel like there's anything wrong with Bible school. But God has so led us this year to pray specifically for Bible school. So, be aware of that as teachers. And the last line here, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This might scare you if you attend adult Bible school. But if there would be a need at Bible school, from the kitchen, or from the teachers, or from the tents, I want the person with the need to come to the adult Bible class and say, we need help here. And then you can go. And as a class, we will pray and we will discern and we will send someone under prayer for them to go help. Because we are to encourage each other and to submit to one another in the fear of God. So if there is help needed, the adult Bible school class is the pool for you to pull from. And we will send you with blessing and with affirmation that God's calling on you is to go. that night to do that task. So, I'm excited to see what God has for our whole Bible school committee and drama and plan, because He is at work. He is doing a good thing. I encourage you to come out for those that work, those that are able to, and it works for your schedule. I'm excited to be able to lead you through a time of prayer during that week. In closing, in my sermon on how to be, how do we be this Christian life? You can turn this off. You can flip that down. I have an illustration. It's a story that I wrote years ago, probably 12 or 15 years ago. And I don't have it all written down, so I prayed and did pray that it would turn out okay. It's a dramatic story, fishing story. I was fishing, and there was a large river going through, and it was swift water, and it was fairly high, and there were, you know, large boulders strewn through the river, and I'm thinking of a certain river in Tennessee, but that's okay. I won't bore you with the details. But this beautiful trout stream, and I'm fishing, and I'm making my way across, and the current is strong, and so you, when you wade, you have to kind of keep your feet together and shuffle your feet because you can't see through the water. So you're kind of making your way across, and you come upon rocks, and of course rocks underwater are slippery, so you're very gentle and you're very careful as you make your way across and as you get to the stream. So I was going to the stream to fish, and I brought my cousin Bob along with me, and Bob was fishing with me, and I don't have a cousin Bob. Sorry, this is part of the story. So I tried to pick a name that nobody was here, but if you're visiting, I'm sorry, Bob. So Bob's fishing with me, and I'm making my way across, and I've done this before, you know, and I've fished before, and so I'm making my way across the stream, and Bob's following me, and I'm telling him to be careful, you know, the walks are a little slippery, you know, but it's all right, come on. So I see a spot that I want to get to that's way over here, you know, it's over here, and there's a great pool on the other side of this rock, and so I'm making my way over here, and it's through here is really fast water, and I'm just barely making it, but I get through this water, and I get up on the rock, and I'm here on my slippery rock, and Bob's back there, and I said, Bob, be careful, you know, I don't know if you should do this, it's okay, just hang out back there, I'm gonna fish over here. And Bob sees that I'm made it to this rock and that I made it. And Bob begins to follow me. And I said, Bob, be careful. I don't know if you should come over here. And Bob, you know, he saw that I had passed this fishing, and he saw the better fishing over here. And it was, you know, Bob wanted to fish where I was fishing. And so Bob proceeded to come, and as he was coming, I was distracted by my fish and what I was catching and doing. I heard a shout, and there's Bob. He's leaving. Bob, he's swept downstream, and there's nothing I could do. Bob was gone. And I can't, I'm still on my rock. I can't help. And Bob is swept away. He's gone. I made it. I mean, I was okay. So what slippery rock are you standing on? Are you standing on the slippery rock of alcohol? I mean, I'm okay. I mean, I'm still saved. I'm all right. But the people that are watching you, that are coming behind you, may not make it. This is life or death. Are you standing on the slippery rock of tobacco? I mean, I'm okay. But my brother, my sister that is coming behind me, they actually may not make it. This is life and death. Are you standing on the slippery rock of gossip? I mean, I made it. I'm okay. I'm still a Christian. But my sister and my brother behind me, they may not make it. And this is life and death. Are you standing on the slippery rock of pride? Are you standing on the slippery rock of covetousness? You just want a little more. Just a little more. I mean, I'm still saved. I know I'm okay. I just want a little more. And yet, your family, your cousins, your brothers, and your sisters are coming behind you. Are they going to make it? Don't let your freedom be someone else's death. It's so not worth it. That's why I don't drink. That's why I don't smoke. That's why I don't do anything that would even remotely be something, a cause for a brother to stumble. It's not that I can whip open the Bible and say, thou shalt not. No, it's for my love and my compassion for my brothers and sisters, for my cousins, for my aunts, and for my uncles, that I would not do anything that would lead them to a treacherous place, to a slippery rock. This, brothers and sisters, is the Christian walk. That's how to be. That's how to live. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. When we fear God, when we fear God, that's when we're the safest with each other. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day, for this encouragement on how to be. God, your word is alive and it's powerful and it's real. And it moves us. It speaks to us. God, we see you with our heart when we read your word. God, I pray for my family now, for my family that's here, for my brothers and my sisters and my cousins and my aunts and my uncles. God, protect them. God, keep them safe. Give them the ability to shine their light as they depart from here. God, help us all to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Chorister may come and lead us in song.